When I came back with the big trophy of religion, when I saw my parents, they were both crying.
They were not
They
happy.
were not happy. This world, they don't know how it works. Easy life going forward of me, like they will be a doctor, doesn't matter, he will be a doctor. And then now I said, no, I want to do that.
We came in 2013 building our own car at home in Torsby. Again, with a new team, new mechanics, a whole new setup. It was amazing. And then talk about working day and night. We fell asleep on the workshop floor.
With Colin, we were like very close friends, so partying, riding bike, and Colin was incredibly good at anything, you know. You go skiing, he would a knife skiing, he'll pick up skiing, you go water skiing, within 2 days he beat everyone in a jet ski, and we...
Tell me you beat him at something, Christian.
No.
Welcome to WRC Backstories, our exclusive World Rally Championship podcast presented by Bex Williams.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy new WRC season. That is right. Rally Monte Carlo is just around the corner. We're all set. We're all ready to go. I know everyone's itching to get some WRC action back into their lives. And welcome to another season of the WRC Backstories podcast. We have some great names lined up for you in 2025. I can't wait to get kick-started, and we're going to be doing that with a slightly different Backstories podcast this time around. Thierry Neuville, our brand new WRC champion, was in fact the very first Backstories podcast that we ever did, and it was very, very different when it got started back in 2020. It was quite short. It was just under 30 minutes in length, the podcast. I think we did about three or four on site at Rally Mexico. And then, of course, COVID came along and everything changed. So we've decided to revisit Thierry Neuville's Backstories podcast and catch up with him because, of course, he's won the championship now. He told me back in 2020, if he ended his WRC career without winning the championship, he would be incredibly frustrated. He doesn't have to have that frustration now because he achieved his dream in Japan in 2024. So back to 2020 and that first ever recording. Let's take a little listen in to the opening section of that podcast before we get right up to date in 2025. Tell me about the young Thierry Neuville, though. Let's go back to when you were just a wee little boy in school, not speaking French, but German was your first language, right?
It was, actually, and I started learning French, or speaking French, in 2009, so only 11 years ago. But yeah, what, I don't know. I always was into motorsports, and obviously school I was just doing what I needed to do to pass year by year. I pass every year, but sometimes just with the minimum, because I was not very much interested in studying and stuff like this. But I also knew that I don't wanted to do a year twice, so I always did the minimum. But when it goes to motorsport, there I was always very motivated. General sports as well. I played football when I was young until age of 14, I think. Yeah, stuff like this was always very interesting for me. And yeah, once I was able to get into rallying, first it was more for pleasure than for anything else. But very quickly I realized that there was maybe something to do and to go further than I could have ever imagined and expected. But yeah, so then I start to change a bit and start working more, definitely prepare better, and also physically. I lost around 6-7 kilos in a short time to get myself properly fit for what was my new job and new target.
You mentioned that motorsport's been a passion for all of your life, but where did it come from? Was it your dad? Was he competing? Where did that stem from?
Nobody was competing in my family, not before my parents, and even not my parents. But we lived close to Spa-Francorchamps, about 15 minutes away. So the highlight was every year to go and watch Formula One. But even more for me, the highlight was the local rallies around our area, where it was very interesting to see cars crashing out and making spectacular moves. And there was also the Rallye de Condroz every year, where I was able, since I was 8, I think, to join my father and his friends, at least during one day, to watch the rally. We had Bruno Thierry as well, who was from originally from my home area. So there has been always a rally star in this area, which I followed very closely. And yeah, that's where the passion came from. And generally, all our family is very motorsport passionate. I have my cousin also doing motorbike races. My brother has raced also in rally. The youngest one, the little one, also doing some racing now. So yeah, we got more and more into motorsport, but I was the first.
I'm really delighted to be able to say these words. Finally, in my career, I can now speak to our reigning World Rally Champion, Thierry Neuville. Thierry, Happy New Year. It's great to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, Happy New Year as well, Bex. And I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm really looking forward to the rally season getting up and running. We're a week away from Monty right now, and I'm kind of itching to get back. Are you, or did you want a bit of a longer break?
No, obviously, I'm fine to kick off again. I mean, I had a very nice break. Spent some super beautiful time with the family, did some holidays. And yeah, I enjoyed the time. Also, the celebrations were... lots of celebrations since Japan, and it was a great time. But now I'm happy the celebrations are over and we can kick off for another exciting season again.
It really looked, and I'm so glad that you did it. It really looked as if you completely absorbed everything that was going on, and you really celebrated to the max. Every kind of Instagram post or whatever I saw was you at parties, wherever, whether it was at home or with friends, family. It looked fantastic.
You didn't see all of it.
I'm sure I didn't. I'm sure I didn't. It was good though, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I always said, if we're going to win the championship once, I will make a proper celebration. And I think I did more than I could have expected.
That's brilliant. And I'm really pleased that you're able to do that, because as we all know, it's a really super short off season, because, you know, you're back into testing really quickly and, you know, getting all your overalls fitted, getting your photographs done, doing all the media behind it. That comes along really quickly. So I'm glad that you had the time to just decompress and realize what you'd done, realize what you'd finally achieved.
Yeah, no, I mean, we had a very nice time. We had nice celebrations, but also nice ceremonies and prize givings, where we got rewarded for our hard work. And also recently, being voted as the team of the year from all the Belgian athletes. So very, very happy Martin and I could take that prize as well. And just a lot of things going on. But now our focus is turned already to the new season. We have some testing behind us already. And we are, I would say, properly kicked off for a new year.
Mm. I want to take you back a little bit, because this is now the Backstories Revisited podcast. You were the first ever Backstories podcast that we did back in 2020. Okay. You and I sat on a sofa at Rally Mexico, the event that was eventually cancelled due to COVID. But there was me, you, Oit, and a couple of other people that I interviewed at the time for Backstories. And it was 30 minutes maximum. And we talked about your life. You told me you couldn't cook and you couldn't peel an apple. And you told me lots of different things.
I still don't. So there's no change on that.
No change on that front. I think your daughter Cammy was about 8 months old at the time when we recorded that. I listened back to it earlier. Tell me a little bit about behind the scenes at home with you. You said, you know, you love going home now, seeing your girlfriend, seeing your daughter and immersing yourself in family life. What is it like when you go home? What do you get up to? I'm imagining in my head, this is what I have for you. You're a workaholic, I know. I'm imagining you're a neat freak. I can see your house. Everything is really neat. It's minimal. There's not a lot there. Yes. Am I right?
Yes.
Hitting the nail on the head here. And I reckon I've got an outdoorsy feel about you as well. I reckon you'd like to do some stuff outdoors.
Yes, I obviously it's difficult to describe myself, but for sure in the house it's just everything we need. Everything is made to be very practical. So I mean everything is close and you don't need to look for something. I hate searching something when something is lost and I need it, and I need it now. I don't want to look for 30 seconds or 1 minute for something. So everything is at the same place. Everything is always straight. And that's typically me. And my girlfriend sometimes struggle with this, but it is how I want it. If it's not like this, I'm getting nervous. So and it's with all I do. I mean, we have launched the company and everything is going the way, the best way possible. I want to do as professional as we can. Even the holiday house, we try to make everything as good as possible, as good looking as possible. I also want to manage all the things always by my phone, so I can supervise everything by the cameras. So this is something I have always wanted to control everything and always keep a hand on top of everything.
Are you controlling in the kitchen? Do you cook, Mr. Neuville?
No.
No.
I think I have cooked 10 times in the last 15 years. When 10
what?
Times is a lot.
So how have you survived eating out?
Yeah, always. I mean, in Monaco, it's very easy to order on the internet. Oh, my girlfriend is a perfect cooker and she loves cooking. But don't ask me to help for anything in the kitchen. I want to prepare the table and also to put it in the dishwasher after we finish, but don't ask me to do anything. I mean, even to prepare an apple, it's too much work for me, and I hate it.
I'm genuinely quite surprised by this. And it's amazing to think that was, you know, that wasn't so long ago. That was 2020. We're now into 2025. You've achieved your dream, and a lot has happened in the past few years. And what I asked you and what I asked everyone at the top of the Backstories podcast is, you know, use three words to describe yourself. And you told me back then, relaxed, focused, clearly focused, clear vision, and a workaholic. Would you say that those three things remain the same?
I mean, if I would ask the question, or if you would ask the question to my wife, Deborah, she probably wouldn't say relaxed. But she would say that, yeah, workaholic, definitely, and very focused as well, yeah.
Yeah, super focused. And, you know, I've been interviewed a couple of times at the start of this season, and I've been asked a really interesting question about you. And did I notice a change in you during the 2024 season that meant you could achieve something that you've almost attained so many times in your career? And I had to kind of answer, not really. I didn't notice a change in you, other than your composure was fantastic the entire year, even when things were going wrong. And towards the end of the season, there were a couple of times we thought, oh, is he going to win this championship or not? But you kept yourself so calm. And that's maybe the only thing I could see as a change for you in 2024. Did you feel any different during 2024 or not? Do you feel your approach was any different at all?
No, I think in terms of approach, it was pretty similar. We just got a good start into the season, and obviously I knew where our strengths. And obviously I also knew that one of our strengths is pushing very hard and going super fast when it's needed. Always combined with a bit of risk, obviously, like for everybody. But I knew that with the new point system, we had our cards to play, especially on Sundays and power stages. And that has been the case, definitely, and especially in the beginning of the season. Mm. But on the other hand, yeah, I felt well in the car. I felt really well in the car. I felt also that the car was performing probably better than it ever had been, except maybe the 2018 season and 21 as well, where the car was also fast.
but I don't know, it felt good. And yeah, with the new point system, I felt a bit more relaxed as well.
Yeah, and I mean, you definitely, you know, made the most of that new point system. It all changes again now this year. We've got to get our head around something else, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But you definitely made the most of it during the season. And I think, you know, a great season from you and Martin. But you got to the end of it. That final round, talk to me a little bit more about the final couple of rounds, actually, Thierry, because from Greece onwards, there was a definite change in the kind of the mood of the championship. All of a sudden, Ogier had a chance of maybe getting a title as well. And he played a few games with you mentally in Greece, which, again, you did not respond to. You kept composure there. You know, looking back on that now, and, you know, it was quite funny at the end of the event when he posted the whole, you know, well, karma for me, because, you know, he ended up crashing. And but looking back on it, in the distance, after having achieved the championship, what do you think of that event and how that was playing out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if somebody knows Mr. Ogier, I would probably say, especially in a tight fight, I would probably say it's me, because I would say probably 5 of his 8 titles, I have been his closest rival, sometimes pretty close towards until the end of the championship. So I know him very well, and I know the games, and I know the games he has played with his teammates as well over the past years. And it obviously worked, but it never really did with me. And obviously this year I was in the better situation, in the better scenario. Because obviously we know several reasons, but he hasn't been doing the full championship, and we have been performing strong, and especially on those events as well, where he was supposed to be clearly the stronger performer due to his road position. We kept performing and kept taking points, so it was quite easy to stay relaxed. And I mean, I never really. It isn't so easy to wind me up and on such things, and knowing that it would come one or the other day, I was well prepared to it as well.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
It is. Well, I think for people watching, there was a definite split. When people were like, oh my God, Ogier is rude, he's disrespectful. And then the other half were like, yes, let's have some fighting talk. Let's make it a bit spicy. And I think I was on that kind of side of it, if I'm honest, because it did spice it up. And I thought you handled yourself so well, because you could have easily come back and said something a bit pithy and whatever, but you didn't. And I think it was... You came off the better in that situation in the way that you handled yourself. It was great, but it was getting tense towards the end of the season, right? Did you feel a bit of tension? Because, you know, certainly when we got to CER and the possibility of winning it was pretty high there, and then it didn't happen. There was this anti-climax and these mistakes that came in. What was it like for you in CER?
No, I mean, overall it was manageable. Obviously there was a bit pressure, and obviously after every rally getting a bit closer to our dream come true, you get a bit more pressure and a bit more nervous, but overall we handled the situation quite well. I mean, obviously we were not very proud of the mistake happening in Central European, but nevertheless, who knows for what it was, what was the reason, but at the end, we got what we deserved, and what we got, what we fight for as well. And that's the most important thing. And overall, I must say that we have had quite a successful season. We had only one real retirement, which was Sardinia. And obviously a couple of rallies with problems like Kenya and the last one in Japan, obviously with the turbo issue. But other than that, I felt like it has been a strong season, and not the most enjoyable, to be honest, because cleaning the road over the whole year has been quite frustrating, and not getting as much victories as we would have liked, and podiums overall as well, made it a bit frustrating. But the outcome was feeling even better at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the outcome was perfect. So, and, you know, the fact that you didn't seal it in CER meant that quite a few more Belgians than probably would have, went to Japan and actually got a bit of a tour of the country, because you had a, you know, you had a huge amount of supporters that actually traveled out there. And you know, it's not an easy journey, is it? So you know, it's a long flight, and it's a really unique country to go to if you're going for the first time as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I wanted my family to be part, and also my children and my wife. So we basically make sure they could join us for this last rally, the last round of the year. And I remember a few years back, I brought him to Australia as well, because the chance was high we could win the championship, and obviously it didn't happen. So I definitely want to make sure that if they come again, it doesn't happen twice, and we this time turn the situation around, which obviously went in our favor at the end.
What, you know, I mean, the kids are still very young, but do they have any kind of, especially Cammy, does she have any understanding of what is going on?
I think so. Obviously, she enjoyed the traveling and the kind of adventure. But also she realized, she's old enough now to realize, and she understood that, yeah, it was a very important event, and that we won the championship. So we are celebrating that still every day at home. And it's very funny to watch.
Yeah, I bet it is. But it's such a, it's a unique thing, definitely. Well, you know, huge congratulations on the championship win. I want to look back a little bit, what we didn't do before in the Backstories podcast, because it was quite a short one, and we have limited time here, I know. But one thing I wanted to pick up with you is, certainly now that you've won the championship, is looking back at those career highlights for you. And I'm certain they're probably all going to be wins that you would say. And you've had some really fantastic ones as well, which have gone right down to the absolute wire, most notably with Ogier. What would you pick out as being the standout victory for you, your highlight?
Oh, it's hard to pick one. But if I, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, we have won some beautiful races like Monte Carlo and a close fight with Sebastian. But as I always said, the one I felt for the first time, I felt proud of myself, and I felt proud of the achievement. And I had a feeling I never experienced before, was in Rally Sardinia in 2018, when obviously there was a lot of emotions before the start of that last stage, because Ogier missed his time card, or he brought the time card, which obviously wasn't exactly following the rules, and everybody knew we were in a tight fight for the championship. So for me, it was clear he needed to be excluded from the race, or at least return himself to the TC of the last stage and pick up his time card, which never happened. And so, yeah, lots of emotion, frustration before that last stage, because obviously we understood he was carrying on. And I knew that there would be no disqualification if he would participate at the last stage. So I went for all in the last stage with a lot of anger, and just trying to, basically show who is the boss, and at least on that rally, let's say, and give it all. And that worked pretty well. And that time, I don't know, I experienced emotions I never experienced before.
Wow. I have to say, I'll give you a little bit of behind the scenes from my side, because 2018 was the first year of All Live. And I was tasked during the power stage, because I don't commentate on that, with being at Hyundai to watch the mechanics with a camera and be on standby to interview Team Boss if you won. And, you know, we were upstairs in the Hyundai unit, all the mechanics were there, and the tension was just incredible, and its atmosphere surrounding everybody. And I had an earpiece in, which was 10 seconds ahead of the coverage that they were
the
watching.
TV, yeah.
And people knew that I was getting information in, and, you know, they would look at me. And as soon as you cross the line and you'd won by such a small margin, I could barely contain myself. I almost burst into tears with this this tension and this emotion. And then I knew what I was about to see in front of me would be just amazing. And it was. It did not disappoint. The entire room went wild. People were throwing chairs. Honestly, Thierry, it was, you know, for and for you as a competitor to and you know that from your team how much they're behind you to, but to be able to see everyone have such a reaction for you guys putting yourselves right out there on that final stage, and as you say, feeling emotions that you'd never even felt before at the end of it. That's
definitely
incredible.
No, it was a great scenario, and yeah, obviously a great story, and. A massive celebration, and just a feeling of, I don't know, being proud, and also a lot of pressure which went, and but nevertheless at the end it also maybe have cost me the championship in terms of points, because obviously OG still scored second, and which shouldn't have been the case, but it is what it is.
It is what it is, and it's a brilliant win to you know, to look back on. I pick out in my mind for you, I picked that one out, but also, you know, the Germany with the accident at Shakedown, and then going on to win the rally, which, you know, that's kind of the dream scenario after disaster becomes this amazing feeling, because you've turned everything around, this huge disappointment, into absolute joy, and that's right to the start of your career, pretty much with Hyundai anyway.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That was also an unforgettable moment. I mean, the first victory is always a very special one. But we made it even more special, because obviously we crashed on Shakedown. But there have been a lot of other victories as well. I remember also Rally Argentina in a close battle with Elfin. We were able to win in such a a crazy stage, like Mina Clavero and El Condor, obviously the stages we were participating on Sunday. Incredible memories.
And yeah, that Elfin Evans one and the Ogier one, they were both 7/10 of a second, right?
Yeah, really close, really close. It has been really close a couple of times. I mean, I lost Monte Carlo for 1.8 seconds or something like this. And 1 year, on the year after, I won it by 2.3. So there has been a couple of very, very intense battles with Mr. Ogier, but also with other drivers.
You know, you've seen a lot in the championship, because, you know, I remember kind of seeing you for the first time, probably it would have been IRC days back in 2009, I think, at Ypres was when I first saw you. And you've seen a lot of people, you've met a lot of drivers, co-drivers, just people in general around the championship. And you told me in the previous Backstories episode that Geoffrey is the closest man to you. He's the man who's helped you through lots of different situations. But you must have certainly a lot of people who have stuck with you for a long time that you can rely on. Would you say you've made some really strong, firm bonds through rallying that will stay with you for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I mean, a lot. Obviously, I mean, we have very busy lives and it's hard to keep up with everybody, but I have the feeling like all the people I have been working with and I have been a bit more in contact, I keep very nice memories with, and I feel like they do so. So that's very important to me as well, that people enjoy also following our career, because obviously we have been competitors, but obviously not everybody had the opportunity and the chance to do what I'm doing, and still people are following me. Obviously Guy Willick, somebody I probably met once since our last championship in 2011 together, but we're still following, and in Japan he was managing my weekend from a distance with with tips and tricks to make sure that I will keep it on the road and will get the car back. But there are many other people who have been supporting us in the fight for the championships since many years, and who have been really with us for the last couple of rounds of 24.
I think it's really special, isn't it? It's something that's kind of, it's not unique about rallying, but it's when you're in a sporting world and you're in a bubble of traveling, certainly in a championship, and you're in an intense situation with people. Like we spoke a couple of months ago, just a random conversation about what, you know, when you go home,
what happens. And you said, oh, I don't want to speak to anybody for 24 hours. And I'm pretty much the same in that, you know, it's such an intense weekend on rallying that you don't want to speak to anyone. You just want to be by yourself. But I think it's that's the nice part of it. It's intense. You meet these people who, like you say, stick with you. And, you know, you're a nice guy. They follow you. They want to see how you've progressed through your career. And now you've made it to champion. And no disrespect, but you've got a legacy now. You know, you have to be our champion for the year. It's all going to be on your shoulders, how you conduct yourself. It's like almost wearing a crown for the whole season and defending.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
I hope not. I mean... Don't turn into a diva, okay? Now that you're a champion.
It won't happen. It won't happen. And I'm not much concerned about that, to be honest. But no, like I say, obviously we took off a bit of weight of our shoulders. What concerns the title bit, but I mean the approach, the targets, and the pressure of performing well for the team, and the pressure of bringing home a decent amount of points for the team, for the manufacturer, make sure the team gets what they deserved, and also the pressure of trying to be the best is still there. And this pressure, in my eyes, is also very, very, very important, because that's the pressure which for years and years now keeps us going, keeps us pushing, keeps us never giving up in any kind of situation. So I'm pretty sure that, I mean, the upcoming season won't be a massive difference in terms of target, or will be no difference actually in terms of targets and how we perform. But nevertheless, it's going to be an exciting and challenging season again. And nobody knows who will be the winner at the end of the year.
No, and I really hope it goes down to the final round again. The fact that pressure is still maintaining, though, I mean, did you imagine winning the championship that some of that pressure might go a little, or can the pressure never go because that means you won't be on top of your game if it does?
No, I honestly, I'm not so much worried about, because I know myself very well, and once the competition kicks off, there's only one goal, and it's doing the best you can. And I don't like to release the pressure. I want to keep up that pressure. And I know I've always performed well under pressure. So that's very important. Nevertheless, I believe that in certain situations, our reaction to it can be even better than it what has been before, because we are a little bit more relaxed. And by how to manage the season, and knowing that we have the capabilities of winning a championship might help us in some situations as well to stay calm.
So number one is going to be on the door this year then, because you obviously have the choice whether to use number one or to stick to 11. And I remember you telling me years ago when I asked you why you picked number 11, it's like, because I want to be number one. And now there's two of them on the door.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
now,
exactly.
Now it is the proper number one on the door this season. Talk to me a little bit about this season, what you can see, because we see some changes, point system change. So there's more of a, it's more geared towards you being 1, 2, 3 at the end of the rally. The Saturday points have gone, but Super Sunday remains. And I think, you know, the point system change obviously during the year. Some people liked it, some people didn't like it. It got a mixture of variation, mainly maybe negative from the drivers and the people who were in it, because it took the onus away from the actual podium. But Super Sunday really did keep things spicy, I thought. Are you still happy with the fact that we have that point scoring now on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. And I would describe it as a justified adjustments to the point system, which have been done for the upcoming season.
Yeah.
No more than that. It's a justified adjustment, which obviously probably won't make everybody happier. Nevertheless, the show and excitement we have seen on Sundays, and we have also felt as a driver and the crew and the team on Sundays, have been incredible. In terms of the show we could deliver on a Sunday by pushing hard and Yeah, knowing that every single point on a Sunday is very important for the championship and the power stage as well. Yeah, made just everybody pushing very hard. Even in terms of preparation, the Sunday stages, you try to prepare them as every stage is it's like a power stage and the final stage of the rally. And you make the car as light as possible. You make sure during the weekend that you keep the best tires available for Sunday. There's a lot of more than only driving fast behind it. And that's what made it so excitement. Definitely an additional challenge for us crews because it's more work, it's more preparation work, harder work to be ready. But obviously it worked out quite well for us, because we took the most benefit of the Sunday and power stage points together, and that I'm really proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. Sundays worked brilliantly for the team in 2024. And from a very selfish perspective, to commentate on a Sunday was a joy last year because I did not hear the words, "We're tire saving."
Yeah.
Hardly any at all, which was great. And it was exciting. And I think for the fans around the world, they want to see you guys fight all the time. And that is certainly what we had. You know, it's going to be an exciting season. You've got obviously a new teammate coming on board this year as well with Adrian Formeau. Oit, you know, exceptionally well. And, you know, you're fantastic rivals. Whether you're friends or not, really does not matter. You're mega competitors. And the team need the three of you to really be on point to try and get that manufacturer's title that you guys just missed out on in Japan.
Yeah, unfortunately. But I mean, from our side, there was definitely more joy than how you say, not being happy, but yeah, of course, we were all a little bit disappointment, I would wanted to say. But of course, there was a bit of disappointment for each of us not winning the manufacturers at the same time. But I don't see this as a drama. I know what can happen in rallying. And I fully support my teammates as well in that situation because...
Yeah.
Rallying isn't easy. Rallying has never been easy, but it won't be easy in 25 either. So we have to go through those moments and we go through that together.
I'll just ask you a question about that final day, though, because at the power stage podium, when you were all watching the TV and you guys were there, Toyota were there, you're all around the same table, you're all watching the same screen. There was probably a million cameras everywhere filming all the emotions. And I was there watching you all, and that was really tense as well because you were waiting to see if the Toyotas would come through safely and not have any problems. There was a real sense of, is Elvin going to come through? Is Seb going to come through? And your face, Akio Toyota's face when it all happened, it was an absolute picture. And someone's got like an amazing picture of the kind of the disappointment from you guys and then the joy from them. And it just summed rallying up in a picture. It was all just right there, the highs and the lows.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, yeah, it was a tense moment, but I mean, we understood already that it wouldn't be easy to keep the championship alive. But we fought hard, such as Andreas and I did at the end. But unfortunately, I saw strange lines on the last stage from a car in front. And I found some, trees, little cutted trees on the road at some point where I understood that, Andreas and I had to go faster than all of the Toyotas. So I knew already at that point that probably that would be difficult, but still we kept fighting until the very end. And when Oji went faster than us, obviously we knew already it was basically lost.
Yeah. But a brand new year. I'll wrap it up with you now because I know you've got a lot of stuff to do ahead of Monty next week. But just finally, looking back on it, Thierry, and looking forward as well. You've said 2025 is going to be a tough year. It's a tough year every year, isn't it, in the WRC? But Mr. Rovanperä is coming back to full-time status this year, and he is always, a big threat. In your mind, are you just focusing year by year at the moment, or are you already planning out a future for yourself past 2025?
No, I'm focusing on the upcoming season more than anything else at the moment, and I will take it year by year. Obviously, one of my targets during the season will also be to, yeah, as a team, to fight for the WRC program of Hyundai Motorsport, and I will be there to support Cyril and the whole team to do the maximum we can to keep our best chances for the continuing of the program, and as I always done, try to fight and figure out how we can improve the championship and the future regulations as well, which I believe will be crucial for the continuing of our program.
Yeah, and you're in the best place as a champion, but as a driver and competitor, and the drivers really have had their voices heard in the past years and months. People have kind of banded together to make sure that everyone is collaborating to make the championship better right now. That can only be a good thing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, nevertheless, a lot of work to do. And we will keep on pushing for that for sure. There's a few couple of interesting changes within the structures of the different participants, so let's see what's coming up next, but I still have a lot of hope, and I'm looking forward.
Well, I'm going to be really delighted at every round to be calling you the reigning champion of WRC. Thierry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you,
and I'll see you in Monte Carlo.
Super, thank you very much, Bex.
For more great World Rally Championship content, head to Rally TV, with its thousands of hours of archive footage and exclusive live programming, event review shows and extensive onboards, special features too on some of the legends of the sport. This is all available at rally.tv and wrc.com, the digital online home of the World Rally Championship.